Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the latest episode of Me Optimize. I am your style coach, Tiffany, here on the Life Coach Radio Network, hosting Me Optimize. Today, we're going to be discussing the 11 style killers. Now, I know you might be thinking there are probably way more things out there than just my list of 11 of things that you should and shouldn't wear. And the truth about that is there are things that may be right for some people, but not right for other people. So what I want to get into today is to discuss some things that I like to point out as doesn't really matter what body type you are. It doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter your ethnicity, what school you go to. These are things that everyone should stay away from. So before I get into that, I just want to briefly recap what we went over in last week's episode. So we discussed all the body types for both men and women. As we said, there are five body types for women, which are the hourglass, the pear, the newspaper. We also have the Tiffany lamp. And then, oh goodness, there's one that I'm leaving out, the apple. Yes. So how do you know you're an apple? You know you're an apple if you have slim legs, and when you gain weight, you tend to gain and hold most of your weight in your midsection. Now, if you're a pear, you know you're a pear when you look in the mirror and your shoulders are just slightly narrower than your hip area. You know that you are, and also, I'm sorry, a pear also has a very defined waist. Moving on to the next body type, you know that you are a Tiffany lamp if your shoulders stick out past the girth of your hips, with slim to no definition in the waist area. The next body type is an hourglass. You know that you're hourglass if when you put on a belt, or if you just look at yourself in the mirror, you're like, I seem pretty balanced. My shoulders and my hip bones seem to be kind of running along the same line, and I've got a clearly defined waist. That's how you know that you are an hourglass. The last female body type is the newspaper. Newspapers are notoriously known for being in the modeling industry because they have little to no curve anywhere. A lot of designers, which I don't really like this idea, but they like to use women who are less curvy than others because they don't really have to get too complicated in the construction of their garments. So you know that you are a newspaper if you have little to no definition in your waist area. Now, let me just say this. You do not need to be a size 2 in order to be a newspaper. So now that we've discussed the female body types, I want to go ahead and discuss the male body types. First, we have the Adonis. The Adonis, you know, some of us watched the Super Bowl last week, and he had last year, where they showed this commercial of some gorgeous and just perfectly built man just flying through the air. Now, an Adonis is very similar to your hourglass. He will have very balanced width between his shoulders as well as his hip area. Then we also have the bear. The bear is also similar to the female apple body type, where he carries most of his weight in his midsection. After that, we have the lion. And the lion is a very, very top heavy with slim legs. Again, very much like one of our female body types, which would be the Tiffany lamp. Okay? So now that we have done like a brief little recap of the last episode, I just want to go ahead and see if I have any questions on the line. So please just bear with me as I check in with all of my social media networks here, see if we have anyone on Twitter and or Facebook. Because I know that in the week or two since the last episode, I've been speaking to people who were saying that they were a little frustrated because they weren't able to get their questions answered. So I just really want to make sure that if you do have a question, please go ahead and let me know. You can either do that by, if you've dialed in to listen to the show tonight, you can press 1. If you are joining in via the online link, there is also a chat room that you can use, and it will be off to the side in the bottom right-hand corner of your screen there. Okay, so it doesn't look like I have any commentators at this time. So again, I want to go back to what I call the style killers. Okay, so let's just dig right in. The very first one on my list is the concert t-shirt. I know. Way back in the 90s, I was so thrilled to go to my very first concert. I think it was 1991 or something like that. And it was the Budweiser Superfest, and I was in love with TLC. I couldn't decide if I wanted to be T-Boz, Left Eye, or Chili. Of course, I had to have the T-shirt, but at this point, all these years later, I've let it go. I know that Hollister and some of these other merchants out here have kind of brought back the allure of the concert T-shirt, but let me tell you this. Some people can do it. Some people can't. And when the people who can't do it actually try, they fail and they bomb dramatically because the T-shirts that they are wearing are usually worn. And not worn in the way where, like, you go to one of your trendier boutiques and they're like, oh, these jeans are so worn and, you know, they fit really well and they are distressed. No, I'm not talking about distressed in that way. I'm talking about the neckline is leaning. There might be a hole somewhere on the side. You know, there's a stain from some red wine that you were drinking 3 weeks ago that just it just won't come out. So my suggestion is, first, get rid of your concert T-shirts. You don't need them. And ladies, I would recommend that you go further than that and allow yourself to get rid of concert T-shirts and anything that falls into that category. What's something that falls into the category of a concert T-shirt? High school T-shirts, your cheerleading T-shirts, your university T-shirts. Of course, if you were still in high school and or college, then of course you want to keep your T-shirt. But if that's not the case, I say purge them. And the main reason why, you all know how I feel about the way you get dressed for bed. I'm very big on the way you get dressed for bed because the way you do that will determine the mood or the style mood, should I say, that you'll wake up in the morning with. Now, if you wake up in the morning and you look at yourself and you're wearing this old ratty T-shirt, what's that going to remind you of? If you're like most of my personal clients, you'll be thinking, oh, I'm not 20 pounds lighter like I used to be when I first got this T-shirt when I was in high school, or I just feel so groggy. I don't feel like doing anything. But let me tell you, if you get rid of all of your T-shirts and you start to redesign your sleepwear, and sleepwear doesn't have to be a teddy, you know. Sometimes I'm talking to people, and I'm like, you know, kind of get rid of the T-shirts. Don't do too much of the T-shirts when you're going to bed. People are like, what do you want me wearing, a garter belt and a teddy? No, you don't have to do that either. But a cool tank top, or, you know, maybe, I'm not going to get into what I would do. I would say like a satin nightgown. That might be too much, and you don't have to do that. But you could get a button-up sleep shirt. You could get anything outside of just a ratty, big old T-shirt. And I really hope that my men out there who are listening are not actually falling victim to the, oh, I'm just going to a sports bar, I'll wear my concert T-shirt. No, you don't want to be that guy banging his, you know, his beer, throwing it back with his concert T-shirt, looking like he's trying to throw his life back to a time that's already passed. I say let the concert T-shirts go, especially if most people in their 20s and early 30s have no idea who that T-shirt represents. So, you know, you don't want to age yourself. Okay, so that's my spiel on concert T-shirts. I think I've beat that in the head at this point. So moving on to the next item on the list. The next item on my list is tags on the bottom of your shoes. Listen, this one really, really irks me, especially, not so much when I see it on regular people. Like, you know, people walking around every day or someone who's at work in your local Walgreens or Duane Reade. But especially when I see it on corporate professionals and celebrities. My thing is, celebrities, you have a stylist. And if your stylist does not pay attention to every single detail that goes into putting your look together, then you should fire them immediately. Hire me. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist that. But yes, you should seriously consider finding yourself another stylist, because that tells me that their critical eye for what's going on with your look is falling. The reason why I don't like tags on the bottom of your shoes is because it screams bargain basement. Don't get me wrong, there is nothing wrong with shopping in the bargain basement. You know, I love going to TJ Maxx. I love going to Marshall's. I even love going to some of my favorite vintage and thrift shops. And yes, there is a very distinct difference between vintage and thrift shops. And if anyone is on the line who would like to learn firsthand, please email me that you like, think you'd be interested in this. And I'll send you some information on a new shopping tour I'm actually launching next month. We'll be going over a bunch of different fashion things and where you can find them in the city. And one of them is taking a store to an authentic vintage store and then immediately following that up with a thrift store so that we can finally bury the hatchet about the vintage versus thrifting. Okay, so to get back on topic, as I was saying, I do enjoy bargain basement shopping, thrift shopping, all of that. But whenever I see a tag on the bottom of the shoe, it just adds this feel of you're not pulled together with your look, you know? Maybe you're rushing, you didn't check everything you needed to check. And I don't know about you guys, but my mom always raised me to think, no one needs to know that what you're wearing is brand new, especially for me if you're going on a date. Like, I like to arrive to a date like, oh, even though I was in a frenzy, like, oh, my God, is it going to like this? Is it going to like that? That is the one place I do kind of get a little nervous or put more energy into what I'm wearing, especially if it's a first date. So you don't want to show up with your tag showing. It's not cute when it's on your shirt. It's not cute when it's on your pants. And it's definitely not cute when it's on the bottom of your shoe because people actually see it. Maybe only crazy stylists like me see these things, but they definitely show up. And it's just, you want to give the impression of ease with your style, like, oh, this? I just threw this on. Not I just ran like a mad dog to the nearest shoe store, picked up five pairs of shoes, and this is the one that I'm wearing. I really hope you like it. No. You want to seem a little more easy breezy, so please do me a favor. Rip off those tags from the bottom of your shoes, but do not in any way take this comment as any implication that I'm saying you shouldn't shop in your bargain basement stores or your thrift shops, because I think they're fabulous, and I think the most stylish people never pay retail. I honestly try not to. Sometimes I do if I really love something, being honest. But please, just take the tags off the bottom of your shoe. It will take your outfit from, she looks cute, but they tried too hard, to, oh, they've just got natural style. So now that we have two of our style killers out of the way, I want to go ahead and let you guys know about the next show coming up on the Life Coach Radio Network. As we know, tomorrow is Super Soul Sunday. So join coaches Sheath Paul, Mike Giassi, and Veronica Taylor as they discuss the Sunday topic of Oprah's Super Soul Sunday show on Sunday, June 23rd at 12 p.m. And, guys, that's Eastern Standard Time. Again, you can join the show tomorrow, June 23rd at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Oprah's show airs on OWN on Sunday, June 23rd at 11 a.m. After tuning in to watch it on OWN or to listen to it online, Sheev, Mike, and Veronica, all life coaches from right here at the Life Coach Radio Network, will discuss the topic and weave in coaching-related opinions and exercises to give listeners a way to practically apply what they've just heard. Tune in, and it could change your life. I can't think of a better way to get the most out of a show like OWN, like the Super Soul Sunday show on OWN, because right after that, you can tune in right here on the Life Coach Network and get some of your more detailed questions answered and actually press one and be able to interact with some of our coaches. So, okay, let's go on and back to our list of style killers. So far we've gotten rid of the concert t-shirt. We've nixed the tags on the bottom of our shoes. The third item on my list is actually not an item. It's a feeling, and it's a feeling of discomfort. I want everyone to stop themselves at the door of their apartment, house, condo, studio, dorm room, whatever it is, and really listen to yourself. Am I comfortable? Am I feeling this? Do I feel like my white button-up shirt is not holding in my girls well? Will I have to be tugging on it all day? Is my skirt a little short? Every time I walk, will I be pulling this down? Because, you know, I'm curvy. I have hips, and it's going to keep riding up. If you find yourself saying that, let me explain this to you. It doesn't matter if you are wearing anything from a Conway $5 dress to Alexander McQueen $15,000 couture. If you are uncomfortable, that will destroy the entire look of your outfit, and you will not look stylish. You will honestly just look like someone who is, how can I say this, a fallen swan. Now, I know that sounds so dramatic, but think about it. You'll just look like, not a fallen swan, like a fish out of water, like you have no idea what you're doing. And the one thing you do not want to happen, which is probably more important if you're wearing something high-end or couture, you don't want that piece to wear you. You need to feel comfortable in whatever and everything that you're wearing. Think about it like this. If the day that you're wearing something that makes you uncomfortable, you're going to work and you need to go to an important meeting, how comfortable will you be? How confident will you be when you're asking for whatever it is you're asking for, or when you're pitching to a new client? You know, people say that fashion doesn't matter, how I dress doesn't matter. Actually, it does, because it can make or break your confidence level. If you are uncomfortable in it, get rid of it immediately, because it shows. Now, this goes from things like shoes, and we've all seen them. Ladies, I know you felt it. I felt a few uncomfortable shoes in my day. And men, I'm sure you're wondering, why are these ladies trotting around and standing still, and they keep trying to balance on one foot? That's called, my feet hurt, and I'm trying to give my left foot a little break for 5 seconds, and then once I get that break, I'm going to give my right foot 5 seconds of rest. It never works, ladies. It absolutely never works when we're in shoes that are just too small. We end up hobbling around. We can't enjoy ourselves, and when my feet hurt, my head starts to hurt, I'm just in a bad mood. Everything just goes downhill. If you're in New York City like me, what I recommend, for one, is that you always have a spare shoe. You know, we travel a lot by train here, which means we're walking a lot. So if you're commuting, let's say, from Brooklyn into the city because you have a fabulous event to attend, let's face it, you're not wearing your stilettos. If you are, I mean, more power to you, but I guarantee you by the end of the night, your feet will be ready to annihilate you. So here's my thing that I do. I'll look at a pair of shoes in my closet and say, okay, these shoes, I have about 3 hours standing time in them. These shoes, have about 5 hours standing time. Go through your shoes and figure out, you know, which ones are for, you know, I can make it from the train and back and then sit down at a restaurant. These shoes are, you know what, I can make it to the car, get in the car, head to, you know, a party, dance around a little bit, but after that I'm done. And then I have other shoes where I'm like, okay, these are my dinner shoes, and I wear these when I'm being picked up and dropped off. I basically walk nowhere except for the bathroom, and they're so beautiful and so much my dinner shoes that I may even hold my bladder. I know that some of the other life coaches and health coaches on the network are like, did she just say that? But there are certain things we sacrifice for beauty. So just to recap, if something makes you feel uncomfortable, don't wear it. Don't think that people don't know. Don't think that they don't see you when you're pulling down your skirt or when you're hobbling because your feet hurt. And the whole idea of let me stand on 1 foot for 5 seconds to give one rest is crazy. And if you've ever stopped to do the god-awful thing of taking your shoes off to walk through the street, that's even worse, because then they just start to get this burning sensation like someone's holding a lit candle under your foot. So just go ahead and get rid of anything in your wardrobe that makes you feel uncomfortable, because subconsciously it's playing a weird and wicked game on your confidence level. Now, the next item I have on my list are actually athletic sandals. Now, if you're like me, you're like, what? What's an athletic sandal? I can tell you, I wish they didn't exist, but apparently they do. And every time I'm on the train in New York, or, you know, about a week ago I was in Texas, I saw so many of them. I think it's Reebok that makes them. I'm not exactly sure what they're called. I apologize for that, but I will get the name and send that to all of you guys when I send out the archive link for this show, just so that you know when you go into the store, is this the shoe, the athletic shoe that my style coach is telling me to stay away from? Are flip-flops okay? No, they're not okay. And let me tell you why. Because they're hideous, in my honest opinion. They're just disgusting. Like, what do you wear them with? They're sandals. Do you wear them with sweats? Do you wear them when you're going to the gym, when you're getting on the treadmill? I don't get it. So it seems like you're supposed to just wear them when you're walking around, I guess, going for a walk, walking the dog. Here's the real reason why I don't like them. They really serve no purpose. I've never met any single person wearing them who has a body that I'm like, oh, okay, if you got those legs from wearing some flip-flops, athletic sandals, I've got to get me a pair. No, honestly, they're usually worn by someone who I'm like, maybe you should trade your athletic sandals in for a pair of real sneakers and go to the gym. Sorry, but that's usually what I'm thinking when I see them. And it's sad, because sometimes you realize people really fall prey to marketing. There is no way around getting in shape outside of not dieting, but actually monitoring what you eat, because a lot of what's out there, as you know, is just not real food. And also exercise. You need at least 30 minutes of exercise per day. And if you've been exercising for 30 minutes per day for a few months and you feel like nothing is going on, well, if no one's ever told you, we have plateaus that we hit. So once you hit that plateau, your body's like, 30 minutes of working out, that's nothing. I'm comfortable. I'm staying right here, and you'll never lose another pound. So if you feel that coming on, go ahead and push yourself past that 30-minute mark and try 40, try 45, or even if you're ready, give yourself an hour. But definitely, definitely, style is injured by the athletic sandal, because for one, it serves no real purpose. It really doesn't. It doesn't counter the pizza that you've eaten. It doesn't counter the lack of activity that you've done for the past 3 days, and now you're thinking, okay, you know what? I'm going to go to the supermarket. I'm going to walk up and down aisle number 5 and aisle number 6, and I'm going to get my workout in at the same time. No, it just doesn't work that way. And if someone out there can prove me wrong, actually support this and show me a real live person who has actually lost weight or toned up from them, then please, I invite you to email me at tiffiny@yourmeal.com. That's tiffiny@yourmeal.com. And just to add a little bit more to this talk about athletic sandals, if there is someone out there who swears by them, then please do the stylists that are walking around and just getting dizzy every time you see an athletic pump with a pair of jeans or a summer skirt, take that to the track somewhere in the park. That would be somewhere where it's acceptable. But if you wear it with your regular clothing, you'll look like you are straight up on the set of Working Girl, that movie in the 80s where it was cool to wear a suit with big, bold shoulders and your Reeboks, okay? That style has come and gone, and I hope it never comes back. So please, stop it with the athletic sandals. Okay, the next item on my list is knock off anything. In today's age, you can get anything knocked off from, believe it or not, contact lenses, to bags, to shoes, to expensive underwear, to jeans. Let me tell you the thing about knockoff wear. They're still more expensive than something that doesn't have a bogus label on it, but really makes no sense to invest. If I wanted to invest in something that was knockoff, I want it to be cheap because that's the reason why I'm not buying the authentic one. I'm not going to spend nearly as much as I would spend on the real thing for a knockoff. The other thing is, have a little respect for the designer and for people out here who are struggling and trying to make a living using their creativity and their design. The next thing about why I think it's basically a style killer to wear and knock off anything is because everyone knows. You know, whoever it is that you feel you have to impress, let me just remind you, there's no one out there that you have to impress to the point where you're like, oh my God, I just need this Louis Vuitton bag so bad because everyone else at work has one and I don't have one. And then when I get to the conference room and I put my bag down, let me tell you this, even when you walk in there with your, maybe you bought a bag in New York on the street for like $40, maybe you went to a department store like TJ Maxx and you bought a bag, you've been fine with that. No one said a word. Walk into that conference room where everyone, in your mind at least, has on the real thing and plop your big old knockoff Gucci right down on the conference table and watch all the stares and the, ew, what's going on with Becky's bag today? You know that's exactly how it would go down. So why even try to compete in that zone when that's not you? Or that's not what you're comfortable doing right now. The other thing that I really don't like about knockoffs is that they say that every other designer who's not one of the elite is obsolete, and I don't agree with that. I think you can find a fabulous bag in any of your leather shops, even a throwback like Wilson. I found a fabulous pair of gloves in there that I couldn't find them anywhere else. You know, I looked around. You know, you do the usual suspects. You know, let's go to Prada. Let's go to Gucci. Let's go to Vera Wang. You do all of that, but sometimes you still don't find what you want. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you will definitely always be able to find a designer who's not premium. They're not charging you premium prices, but they have really, really cute things. So please do not feel that the only way to show your style is to wear one of these premium designers who we all know and love, but that is not the only way to show style. I actually like to think that the most stylish people are the people who, when you look at them, you have no idea what they're wearing, who they're wearing, and everyone always wants to know, where do you shop? And if you ask people who you find to be very stylish, the things that they'll tell you will probably shock you. A lot of people are wearing hand-me-downs. A lot of people are wearing bargain basement. A lot of people are like, ooh, I was walking down 34th Street and I saw this shirt in the window for Conway. I mean, I never really shopped there. I don't like a lot of things there, but I grabbed that piece. So please do not be afraid to do what I call, or what most people in the industry call, high-low shopping. Yes, you know, certain things you'll need to invest in quality pieces, but certain things you don't. So just avoid the urge to jump in and get a knockoff, because anyone that you're trying to impress because you feel that you have to have this high-end brand will definitely know that it's a knockoff item. And the other thing, the other way that they'll know is because the rest of your look. You know, like, luxury brands require luxury lifestyles. So if you're wearing, let's say, a Ferragamo fake bag, and the rest of you is like, you know, Forever 21, that's a red dinger right there. That's either a knockoff that I'm looking at, or this is a person who invested way too much in one item in their wardrobe when they could have taken that money and just divvied it up among their shoes, their shirt, and their pants. I think you guys get the point that I'm making with that. But I'm very, very passionate about the whole knockoff thing, because it's just so frustrating to me that marketing for these major brands has us brainwashed to think, well, the only way I can be cool is if I'm wearing the latest this or the latest that. And that's just not true. So that's the fifth item on my list. The sixth item on my list is the flip-flop. That's too small. Whoa, where do I begin with this one? Okay. Because your toes are out and exposed does not mean that it's okay to let your heels drag behind you on the floor. Real talk, everyone, our feet swell in the summertime. They do. It's hot. You know, you're standing on them for hours, especially if you're out enjoying the sun, you're going to a festival, you're going to the park. Your feet are being, like, just murdered during the summer. So here's what I recommend. Always get your summer sandals, flip-flops, whatever they may be, just a half size bigger than what you normally are. Because check this out. You go and you try on your shoes in the department store or the shoe boutique. And what do they have in most shoe stores? Air conditioners. So after you finish walking around, you're probably a little tired. No, I'm sorry. You're not tired. You're feeling a little chilled. And when I say chilled, I don't mean like in your personality. I mean chilled, and you're not hot the way you were 20 minutes ago when you were outside stomping that hot pavement. At this point, your feet are probably not as swollen as they would be on the day that you're actually going to wear these shoes. So just keep that in mind. While for me, a 7 will work great if I put it on while I'm in bloomies and, you know, under their fabulous air conditioner. But when I'm walking around and it's 100 degrees, or God forbid I go back to Texas anytime soon and it's 188, because that's what it feels like to me sometimes. Excuse me, guys. You'll really need to get a half size larger. Excuse me, I'm going to grab a drink of water. It seems like I am having a little difficulty here. Okay, and I'm back. You know, I am a talkative person, but honestly, when you're talking straight through for like 35 minutes, your throat just gets so, so dry. So excuse me, and thank you all for your patience for letting me take that quick drink of water. So at this time, I'm just going to do a quick check and see if there's anyone who's on the line who would like to ask a question. If you are unable to ask your question through the Blog Talk Radio Network, please feel free to tweet me at Tiffany_Dixon. That's TiffyDixon. If you're on Facebook and you're listening right now, please feel free to go ahead. Excuse me. And write a status update, tag me in it, ask a question that way. I just want to make sure that you all know how much I love you all for listening into the show, and I really want to make sure that I get all of your questions answered. If for any reason you're still unable to get through and you can't answer your and you can't get the chance to ask your question, please feel free to email me directly at tiffiny@youremeo.com with a question on today's 11 style killers. And also, if you're looking for information for my style shopping tour I'm launching next month in New York City, please put that in the email as well, and I will gladly send over the tour breakdown and route. Okay, so we just finished talking about flip-flops, and how you should be getting them, flip-flops, summer sandals, summer stilettos, anything in that nature, anything where either your heel and toes are out or one or the other. And my last note I want to make on that, a really good way to see if your, excuse me, flip-flops are failing you in the terms of just supporting your feet literally under there. When you take your shoes off and your entire foot is filled with sloth that you've picked up through the streets of New York City or Baltimore or North Carolina, or what's up to my Texas peeps out there, your shoes are too small because your feet should not connect with the floor because you're wearing a pair of flip-flops and or sandals. Okay, so that's my last thing on flip-flops. Moving on to number 7, spandex. Yes, and I have to say that and pause for a minute because, yes, ladies, I know how comfortable a good pair of spandex can be. And to some of my other fit and fabulous and voluptuous ladies out there, I know just how great they are for holding things in that we want to hold in. But here's the thing. Spandex serve a purpose, and they should not be worn on a real event. Now, what do I mean when I say real event? I mean, if you're going to a conference and you show up wearing spandex, you know you're dead wrong. You know you are definitely a style felon. I don't care what shoe you put with it, what blazers on, you know, on your top half, what beautiful blouse, tunic. And no, spandex darling, I love you all, but they are not pants. They are athletic gear. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. I can't stop choking. Now, if you are an athletic professional and you're wearing your spandex to, you know, the AFA Association for, you know, athletic professionals, and they're having a conference, then by all means, you wear your spandex. But what will you also have on with your spandex? Sneakers, athletic sneakers. And God help you if you're wearing athletic sandals and I'm around, because you just might find yourself on style phones, which will be back coming this fall. But anyway, please, I need to stay on topic here. So spandex as pants are one of my, I have so many, so you'll hear me say this a lot, one of my all-time hate to love, love to hate them style killers, just because I see them over and over and over again. And the main issue I have with them is this. And maybe one day I will ask someone. So let's do that now. Okay. Hello, how are you, Miss Spandex-wearing woman? Where are you off to today with your black spandex and boots? Oh, I'm going to the movies. Okay, now let's wait for the next woman to walk up. Hi, Miss Spandex-wearing woman. Where are you off today in your black spandex? Oh, I'm going to dinner. The problem is, do you really want to look the same as everyone else or the same every single day? Like, there's just no way that there's any thought about style that's put into your look when you're wearing spandex. You know, it's just, okay, let me just throw on a pair of spandex, throw on a pair of boots, and God help you if you're not wearing a shirt that's longer than, you know, your girlfriend back there, your derriere. That's a whole other topic that I don't even think we need to get into because we're all ladies here of a certain age. But if you are out there rocking spandex with short shirts and you've got camel toes and jiggly wigglies going on behind you, like, you know, email me immediately. No, don't even email. Here's my phone number. It's 347-815-3111. I will personally give you a complimentary style consultation and style guide because you need some style help. But I'm sure we've all seen these spandex style felons. They're at the club. Then they're, honestly, I've even seen them at church. I just think it's way too much. And the other thing, people really can't tell if it's the same little ratty pair of spandex that you're wearing every day. Like, did she have those on yesterday? Are those the same spandex? And here's the other thing, and I actually have a Sal Felon's photo of this one, which I'll be putting on the website once Sal Felon's is relaunched. Most spandex are see-through. Yeah. And if they're not see-through when you're looking at them at home, they are most definitely see-through when someone takes a photo of you with flash. And if they're not see-through when you buy them during the first couple of wears, after a while, wear and tear, they just get so stretched out. They're so flimsy and thin, you can see straight through those things. So my last comment on spandex, because I just can't take it anymore. They're not pants. They're leggings. They are basically OPEG tights without the feet, okay? So, again, if you really and truly love your spandex, you know, please challenge me. And you found an outfit that makes it work, send it over to me. I'd love to see it. I'll see it. I'll tweet it. And I'll even come back on the next episode of Me Optimized and give Jane Doe, the great spandex, wearing her props. But as of right now, I'm over it, and I say, ladies, show me what you got. Be a little more creative with your style. The next item on the list is two-tone makeup. And I think this is something we all know. I call it the halo face because for some reason, when people wear two-tone makeup, their face, when you're looking right at them, leaving out the line that cuts off the ear and the neck and just under the bottom of the chin, it's always so much lighter than everything else. Here's what I recommend. I'm not going to be too hard on the two-tone makeup for one reason. It is very difficult to match your skin tone. I know makeup artists, professional makeup artists, who do not get this right. That's right. How does this happen with a professional makeup artist? Well, some of you have probably seen this. You know, someone will do your makeup, it looks great, you go and you take your pictures, and you're like, oh, wait a minute, what did they just do to my face? Or, you know, you walk into a CVS or a Duane Reade, and you're like, okay, I'm going to buy myself some new makeup, and you just pick something up off the rack. That is very difficult to do unless you've already tried a few different shades. You can't just pick one shade and say, okay, you know, let me just throw some spaghetti on the wall and hope it sticks. No. What I recommend that you do, for one, honestly, I'm not a big fan of, you know, your Duane Reade or your CVS brands of makeup. I feel like with everything else, you really do get what you pay for. Now, there are some brands out there that you can get from some of these stores. Like, I'm a huge fan of Stiletto Mascara. It's just amazing, ladies. Please go check it out. It's about $9.99 a tube, but it lasts forever, and it makes your lashes look so long, thick, and plump. But aside from that, when it comes to your foundation, I really and truly believe that is something you need to do with a legitimate makeup line. I, for one, prefer Makeup Forever. Now, I really like them because they have some HD elements in there, which means, you know, all these cameras nowadays, you know, you don't even have to have the Nikon or the Olympus camera. People are standing in front of you with galaxies and iPads, and you're like, whoa, how far were you zoomed in? You saw all the craters on my face. Jeez. So, no, what I recommend is that you go to a reputable, not that the Duane Reade stores are not reputable, but you go somewhere where you can sit down with a makeup artist. And what they should do, if they don't, this is what you need to advise them to do. They're going to look for about 3 or 4 different shades that are about the shade that they think you might be. Give them one cheek, not 2 cheeks, just give them one cheek, and let them do a swatch of each color down the side of your cheek. Take a look in the mirror, see which one disappears. Whichever one disappears, that's most likely your color. There are other, you know, stylists and makeup artists out there who are like, oh, the one that disappears, that's absolutely your color. I disagree. I think that's your starting point for your color. So what you want to do is say, okay, you know what? The one in the middle, that one disappeared. So let me go ahead and try that all over my face. Would you mind? Usually they don't. And then say, you know, I'd like to walk around the store and continue my shopping, even outside of the store, and just kind of get a glimpse of myself in the mirror or in the window. And that way I'll know if I really feel comfortable. That, my friends, is the only tested, tried and true way to make sure that you're wearing the right makeup foundation color, okay? And if you're shopping somewhere like Sephora, excuse me, the good news is they will actually give you samples. I know Sephora does it, Makeup Forever does it, as well as MAC. I will say this. I used to be a big fan of Studio Fix and Fitch from MAC, and I know that it's still very popular. I would say just be careful with it and make sure that you are keeping up with your skincare regimen, because I personally feel that there's something in the MAC product that makes it easily falling into your clogs. So it just kind of, I mean, I'm sorry, your pores. So it clogs your pores way more than what I've personally experienced or experienced with other clients with different makeup brands. But if you absolutely love it and it's the only, you know, makeup that gives you a certain finish that you want, you're really going to have to step it up with your skincare regimen. And I really hope that you do. And if you don't, we'll be coming to you live in just a couple weeks on The Optimize, where we'll go over, you know, a makeup look that works for different face shapes and your skincare regimen, because it's really not the fact that people wear makeup that makes them break out. It's that they're not cleansing their face properly after they wear the makeup that's causing the breakout. Okay, so at this time, I'm just going to go ahead and do another check just to see if I have anyone on the line who has a question, a comment, an insult, like how dare you tell me I shouldn't wear my spandex. Girl, I love my spandex, whatever it is. So just bear with me as I'm checking here. Okay. So I don't seem to have any callers on the line who have comments, questions, or suggestions. So I just want to go ahead and talk to you a little bit about our next show coming up on the Life Coach Network, which is Frank Talk, Mindfulness. The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. I love that. So on this show, you'll be welcomed by Frank Talk with host David Frank Gomes. In this episode, he will discuss the mindfulness revolution Mindfulness has reached the tipping point now and is a common topic in transformation circles. But what exactly is it? And how can it change both our personal and business lives for the better? Beyond the apparent simplicity of the idea lies a complex and often difficult path to practically implement mindfulness in a world that is always pushing us relentlessly to distraction. In this moment, we will discuss some key components to a mindfulness practice and learn simple, practical ways you can bring more mindfulness into your day life. If you want to know more about David or explore working with him, find out how by visiting his website at lifecompasscoaching.ca. And this episode will air Monday evening at 10 p.m. Okay, so let's keep digging into our list here of 11 style killers. We've got 10 minutes left on the show, and we've got about 3 style killers to get through. So let's see if we can do this together as a team. Okay, the next item on my list is what I call breast cleavage. Yep, that's right, breast cleavage. How does this happen? There are usually 2 to 3 things that are going on. One, someone's wearing a bra that just doesn't fit properly. 2, someone's wearing a shirt that's too tight for them. And 3, someone is just delusional about the proper way to show cleavage. Here's the thing. If you want to show cleavage, there are ways to do that. And the main way to do that is not by buying a bra that's too small. It's by investing in what people in the industry call the balconette bra. The balconette bra is built to give you the same amount of support as your t-shirt bra, but it's cut a little lower in the front. And it's cut strategically in a way so that it doesn't cut into your actual breast. You know what I mean? We've all seen it. I mean, I know I have. Please, don't tell me you haven't seen the woman with, you know, a nice set of breasts walking down the street, and it's like, whoa, are those 2 breasts or 4? Because her t-shirt's too tight, and on top of that, her, God, like I saw today, her leopard print bra, you can see it straight through her t-shirt, and it's just ripping each of her breasts into 2 pieces, and I end up seeing 4 breasts. That's what I call breast cleavage. The way around that, like I said in previous episodes, always, always, always make sure you go and get a professional bra fitting. And when I say professional, I mean by women who, this is what they do. No, I'm not in college. No, working my way through college, working in Victoria's Secret, I don't really care. They taught me how to, you know, measure breasts yesterday. I don't even know if I'm going to have this job for 2 months. That's what happens at Victoria's Secret a lot, which is why I tell people, please don't go to Victoria's Secret. The turnover there is way too high, and these are not bra professionals. And unbeknownst to a lot of us, there are real bra and lingerie professionals out there. So go ahead and make sure you get yourself sized at least every 6 months. And if you can't do every 6 months, by all means, God help you, please try to do it annually. Because with weight changes and things like that, your breast size will change. And the last thing I want to say about breasts before we move on is that you will be a different size in different types of bras. So don't kid yourself and say, this is my size and that's it. This is what I wear. Just like when you go and you try on different shoes or different dresses, you know, you're like, ooh, in the Gap, I'm a size 2. And then when I go to, you know, Zara, I'm a size 6. The same rule applies to breasts and getting your breast size for various different bras. So the next item, which is number 10, which we've kind of already dabbled on a little bit, is hobbling in your shoes that hurt. And I want to add to that. It's not just shoes that hurt, but it's shoes that you don't know how to walk in. Women, we should be strutting, not marching, okay? Your feet should hit the floor with your heel, actually hitting the floor, and rolling over to your toe. And then you just, you know, you have a nice little stride there. If you are literally picking them up like planks and slapping them back down on the floor, no one, and I mean no one, finds this attractive. And it honestly just kind of makes you look a little silly, like, look at this child over here trying all hard, trying to be cute, trying to be grown, trying to be sexy. I mean, the list of what you might be conceived as trying to do can go on and on and on. But the way to quickly avoid that is to just, you know, stick with a pair of shoes that you can actually walk in. And there's nothing wrong with practicing. You know, I had a pair of shoes where, honestly, I love them so much. I just thought that I put them on. I was like, oh, my God, these are the sexiest shoes I've ever had on in my life. I could barely walk in them. I mean, they were an obscene amount of inches. We're talking 6'7". So I'm like, oh, okay, I really like these shoes. I bought them anyway. And there were a few times I'm like, okay, I'm going to wear them today. And I would put them on, and I would walk out of my bedroom and, like, walk into the hallway. I'm like, okay, that alone felt like 10 miles. So eventually what I did was, after a year of having these shoes in my wardrobe and just being too afraid to look like I'm marching on to Zion or something with my stilettos, I took them to a shoe repair shop and had an inch or two, it's about 2 inches chopped off of them. And now they're honestly one of my favorite shoes. They still have the same super sexy look. I like to call them my dinner date shoes. But at least now I can walk in them as I get up at one of my dinner dates and, like, I'm walking to the bathroom. I want to be able to strut. I don't want to, like, you know, worry that I'm going to fall and bust my head open while my date hopefully is looking at me strut away. So there's my spiel on hobbling in shoes that are either hurting your feet or just very uncomfortable to walk in. Make sure you get your practice in. Practice, practice, practice. And if practice doesn't make you perfect, take him to the shoe repair shop and let him perfect them for you. And there you have it. The last and final item on my list today, and that's just today because you all know with style phones I have so many things that I see, but these are the top 11 items I wanted to share with all my Me Optimized friends tonight. Cheap hair. Yeah, cheap hair. Whether you're clipping it in, whether it's a lace front, whether it's a weave, if you are going to put something into your head or adorn your body with something, make sure you get the best quality that you can afford. And if you can't get the best quality that you can afford, just don't get it. Your hair will look so much better. I don't care if it's curly, if it's wavy, if it's straight, whatever it is. Cheap hair will never look better than your real, authentic you, yourself, your hair that grows out of your head. I was recently in Texas, and I saw a box right outside of the hair store with 99-cent packs of weave. Think about it. What is that they're putting in your hair for 99 cents? Is it cat hair? Is it dog hair? Where did it come from? I don't know, but this whole movement of lace fronts, they're driving me absolutely nuts. The women are walking around with glue dripping down their heads. You can see the track. The real hair is sticking up, flying in the wind one way, and you know that cheap hair, it doesn't really move in the wind, so it's sticking in the other direction. So please, if you are going to wear a weave, a lace front, or clip in, make sure you get the best quality. And my biggest problem with clip-ins is that they seem to look like a cross between some type of synthetic material and plastic, and it just does not blend well with your hair. So I just want to wrap everything up and let you guys all know that I love you dearly for tuning in to the latest episode of Me Optimized. And if you would like to get your hands on a recap list of all of my 11 style killers accompanied by a photo of what not to wear, please go ahead and email me at tiffiny@yourmeal.com. That's Tiffany@yourmeal.com. and I'll send over that list of 11 style killers so that you can be sure that every time you step outside of your door, you're telling the world, this is me, Optimize. Thank you for tuning in.